The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. You know what I was thinking last night, and got home a little late, had my cell phone off. And I didn't know what was going on. And the reason why, we have a very reasonable explanation for being out of the news loop last night. We had the big Starnes Media Group Christmas dinner down at Ruth's Chris. And I have to tell you, when there is a sizzling 500-degree plate of beef covered in butter sitting in front of you, you don't care about the news cycle. I mean, let's just be honest. And I will say this, Grace Baker, I've never seen someone scarf down that much beef before.
What are you trying to say, Todd?
No, I'm just saying you've got a good appetite.
I mean, yeah, it's meat.
And the bread pudding and the whole night. I mean, it was just it was a great night.
Yes, and the food was delicious.
And the folks over at Ruth's Chris, they're big fans of the show, and
yes.
So they took very good care of us.
I agree.
I will say that.
Very nice.
So anyway, our attention was elsewhere. But I got home last night after the big dinner. And I see the news about these text messages, and Grace Baker, the only thing I could think of was, holy crap, did I text message Mark Meadows?
Oh, my
gosh. Because they probably have my text messages, too. But, I want to talk about this. I've got a lot of messages from you guys, very concerned about what this means. And whether or not this means the president was somehow ignoring these concerns, and we're going to work through this here, because again, I have a theory. After speaking to several of my sources in Washington, D.C., after analyzing what Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, had to say last night as she read the. Why do you always wince when I say that, Grace? That little area right above the.
Don't even ask.
All right. I just wanted to make sure.
It's just a reaction.
No, my mom used to. Every time I said something inappropriate, my mom would get that same mark right there. All right.
No comment.
So anyway, I was able to analyze these text messages, and I've got some things to say about this. I'm not all that concerned by the so-called bombshell. I mean, honestly, it looks as if the bombshell is, in fact, a dud. So we're going to start off the show. I just want you to hear what Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, had to say yesterday on Capitol Hill as she read the text messages that involved, and these messages were sent to Mark Meadows from Don Trump Jr., from Sean Hannity, from Laura Ingraham, and from Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends.
These text messages leave no doubt the White House knew exactly what was happening here at the Capitol. Members of Congress, the press, and others wrote to Mark Meadows as the attack was underway. One text Mr. Meadows received said, quote, "We are under siege here at the Capitol." Another, quote, "They have breached the Capitol." In a third, "Mark, protesters are literally storming the Capitol, breaking windows on doors, rushing in. Is Trump going to say something?" A fourth, "There's an armed standoff at the House chamber door." And another from someone inside the Capitol, "We are all helpless." Dozens of texts, including from Trump administration officials, urged immediate action by the president. Quote, "POTUS has to come out firmly and tell the protesters to dissipate. Someone is going to get killed." In another, Mark, he needs to stop this now. A third, in all caps, tell them to go home. A fourth, and I quote, POTUS needs to calm this down. Indeed, according to the records, multiple Fox News hosts knew the president needed to act immediately. They texted Mr. Meadows, and he has turned over those texts. Quote, Mark, the president needs to tell people in the Capitol to go home. This is hurting all of us. He is destroying his legacy, Laura Ingraham wrote. Please get him on TV, destroying everything you have accomplished, Brian Kilmeade texted. Quote, can he make a statement? Ask people to leave the Capitol, Sean Hannity urged. As the violence continued, one of the president's sons texted Mr. Meadows, quote, he's got to condemn this shit ASAP. The Capitol Police tweet is not enough, Donald Trump Jr. texted. Meadows responded, quote, I'm pushing it hard. I agree. Still, President Trump did not immediately act. Donald Trump Jr. texted again and again, urging action by the president. Quote, we need an Oval Office address. He has to lead now. It has gone too far and gotten out of hand, end quote. But hours passed without necessary action by the president. These non-privileged texts are further evidence of President Trump's supreme dereliction of duty during those 187 minutes. And Mr. Meadows' testimony will bear on another key question before this committee. Did Donald Trump, through action or inaction, corruptly seek to obstruct or impede Congress's official proceedings to count electoral votes? Mark Meadows' testimony is necessary to inform our legislative judgments. Yet he has refused to give any testimony at all, even regarding non-privileged topics. He is in contempt of Congress.
All right. There you have it. Congresswoman Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, laying out why Mark Meadows needs to be held in contempt of Congress. Now, if nothing else, on face value, it seems to me that what Liz Cheney has done is undermine her own position here, because the argument has been that the Trump family, along with Fox News, were all part of this grand conspiracy to stage an insurrection to throw out the results of the 2020 presidential election. And now we know, thanks to their own words from these text messages, that simply was not the case at all. Liz Cheney has not proven her case. Now, there are plenty of other things that we could, you know, we can extrapolate from all of this. For example, the behavior of the Fox News Channel host. Now, some will say, how dare the Fox News host reach out to Mark Meadows? How dare they? This just shows they're in bed with the Trump administration. Okay, you know what? They very well may be. But that's nothing new in Washington, D.C. You can go all the way back, and let's go back to the 1960s, when you had the editor, the executive editor, Bill Bradley of the Washington Post, who would actually party and vacation with then-President JFK. Very well documented, the close relationship that those two had together. So the issue here is it's not the mainstream media that has the relationship. It's the Fox News people. Now, if I were a Fox News viewer, which I'm not anymore, I moved over to Newsmax, the conservative network. But if I were a Fox News viewer, I would be a little alarmed that the host that were sharing their opinion with me had a very different opinion off camera. Now, that's a problem. But again, that's not a problem for me because I don't watch Fox News Channel anymore. But the reality is, according to these text messages, the Fox News host were saying one thing behind the scenes and another thing in front of the camera. And I will tell you, after my 14-plus years at Fox News Channel, not surprised by that. Not surprised at all. That's just the way things go. You will remember, here on this radio program, when the riots happened, live on this radio program, and we were describing what we were seeing, the outrage I had at the behavior of those rioters was real. It was authentic, and we haven't changed our position on that. But there are lots of other questions that need to be answered, and maybe Liz Cheney can help us out here. Maybe she has the text messages between the FBI agents so that we can know how many FBI agents were involved in the planning, the plotting, and the execution of what happened at the U.S. Capitol. Maybe she has the text messages between Nancy Pelosi and little Chuckie Schumer and the Capitol Police, explaining why the Capitol Police were told to stand down and allow the rioters to get so close to the Capitol building. Maybe, just maybe, she has the text messages explaining why the Pentagon did not send anybody to offer assistance at the U.S. Capitol building. Maybe she's got those text messages. But here's the problem I have with Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick. And it is a very simple problem. There were other reporters that were texting Mark Meadows. Liz Cheney is giving the impression that this was some sort of a coordinated attack from the Fox News camp, when in fact there were other journalists, left-leaning journalists, who were also reaching out to Mark Meadows. Why were their text messages not read aloud into the congressional record? Well, the reason why is Liz Cheney is trying to paint a narrative here. She hates Fox News Channel. She hates Donald Trump. And therefore, she hates anyone in the Donald Trump sphere of influence. Now, I am curious about one thing. Why is Don Jr. going to Mark Meadows? Why does he need to pick up the phone and call his pop? I don't know. Maybe his dad didn't have a cell phone. Maybe he and his dad had some words and they weren't talking. I don't know. I do not know. But it is a legitimate question. I mean, normally, and for that matter, what about Sean Hannity or Laura Ingraham? They're very close to Trump. You don't think that they've got his cell phone number? They couldn't have picked up the phone and reached out? Maybe they did. We don't know. I want to see all the text messages. I want to see all of the correspondence. And can we go back in time to when they were beginning this, to put together this committee? I expressed a grave concern to you, the listeners of this audience, this program. And I'm going to repeat it because I got holy you-know-what unleashed on me for mentioning this. But I suggested that Kevin McCarthy was making a mistake by not putting Republicans on that committee. The Republicans stand down. Why was that a problem? Because nobody's telling the other side of the story. Nobody's giving the context. There's no one on that committee that will be willing to do that. And so what happens in the eyes of the media, I mean, the average American shopping down at the Piggly Wiggly, they have no idea that there are no Republicans on this committee. They're not paying attention to that kind of stuff. They've got other things going on. That's what we do. So it's a problem because now the perception becomes the reality. And that's not right. So, look, I hear you, a lot of you, very concerned about this. And, I can take your calls. Is there anything in this that gives you pause for concern? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We are expecting the House to consider contempt charges against Mark Meadows sometime today. We will keep you updated on that. Also, Senator Ted Cruz is going to be here, and he's going to weigh in on all of this. And we're going to get his take as well. Hey, our website is toddstearns.com. All this week, we are promoting a brand new book, our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Draw. Makes a great stocking stuffer. You're going to love this book. You can get yourself a signed copy right now over at toddstearns.com. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
The last time I tried looking for a funny business podcast, it put me to sleep. If you're like me, you appreciate business news and current events with a little side of comedy. Then I listened to David and Brad, the host of IP Frequently, and found exactly what I was looking for. Solid business advice that leans right, 80s music, and current events. It's the Unicorn of Business podcast, the holy grail of business podcast. Subscribe to IP Frequently and stay up to date on their weekly stream of episodes wherever you get your podcast.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, and don't forget about this. The FBI, back in October, announced that according to their investigation, there was no coordinated effort during the January 6th riots at the Capitol building. So I'm still not quite sure why we have to have this congressional committee investigating all of this after all. But I want to explain why. This is a coordinated effort to make sure that Donald Trump never runs for office again. That's what this is all about. Folks, you've got to put the puzzle pieces together. This is why you've got Chris Christie out there now leading the charge. Behind the scenes, you have Ronna McDaniel over at the RNC headquarters, no friend of the president. I know what she's saying in public, but we know behind the scenes there are efforts afoot by establishment Republicans to make sure Trump doesn't run. The latest polling data we have, and the latest, it came out yesterday, the Harvard-Harris poll, 67% of Republicans want Trump to run again. 67%. But the establishment, the rank and file, they don't. They want to move on. And this is all part of that effort here. So do not be surprised by anything coming out of this committee. Because it's all meant to hurt Donald Trump. All of it. And again, if, you know, Hannity and Ingram and Kilmeade, if they want to explain this to their audience, they're more than free to do so. But it's not my responsibility to defend them. I cannot defend them because I don't know the context of their text messages. I don't know why they said one thing in those text messages and another thing on the air. I don't know. They've got to be responsible. And here's the other thing. And just think about that, because I'm getting these messages. Todd, why aren't you defending them? It's Fox. We have to stand with them. They are our network. Well, they're not my network. But we have to stand with them, Todd. Why are you attacking them? Well, you know who's not defending? Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and Brian Kilmeade? Fox News Channel. Haven't seen a single press release. Haven't seen a single news story. Haven't seen any sort of an explanation. So my question to you, the naysayers that are coming out there and bashing us, why should we defend those guys when their own network isn't defending them? They're not even defending themselves. Somebody's told them to be quiet. Somebody told them to shut up. I think that's what's going on there. So we'll see how all that plays out. But look, It's a weird thing, I'll tell you that much, but those text messages do not prove anything. 844-747-8868, that's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Want to tell you about our good friends over at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs, ladies and gentlemen. They donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for the causes we care about. And they have incredible deals just for you. Plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for our veterans and first responders. If you want to get information, all you have to do is go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. If you use my promo code, Todd, you're going to get a special discount and free premier activation. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Got to take a break here, folks. Our website, ToddStearns.com. Sign up for the newsletter during the break. You're going to love this thing. Comes out in about 2.5 hours or so. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show from the Liberty University Studios.
Christmas is just around the corner, and if you are in one of the big box stores, you're not going to find MyPillow, and there's a reason why. They've been kicked out of many big box stores because of the cancel culture mob, and that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you, and that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow, normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. And MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Also, use the promo code STARNS. Merry Christmas, everybody. All right, welcome back to the Todd STARNS radio show. Hope you're doing good out there, ladies and gentlemen. Broadcasting from our Liberty University studios. Our toll-free telephone number, by the way, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. New movie coming out called West Side Story. This was supposed to be the Spielberg epic. This was supposed to be his greatest film of all time, and it's turning out to be a dud. Have you heard about this? It's a crazy story. So a West Side Story, and if you know anything about Broadway, it's a wonderful Broadway show. The music, absolutely phenomenal. Some of the most memorable songs in Broadway came from West Side Story, many of which we cannot share with you on the radio. But what was the one? Puerto Rico, your lovely island. I can't go for it. I can't. Lyrics a little inappropriate. So anyway, there's some controversy surrounding West Side Story. Rachel Zegler is the lead. She plays Maria. And it turns out that there are no subtitles in the movie. And this is a big deal because most of the movie is in Spanish. So if you don't know Spanish, you're not going to have a clue what's going on. Much like Grace Baker when I went to go see Hamilton on Broadway and left at halftime.
I love Hamilton, so
I didn't understand a word they were rapping. And it turns out the only white guy in the show was what, King George, the bad guy. So I didn't understand it.
I love Hamilton, but that's a discussion for another day.
I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, I paid good money for this?
It is an expensive show.
They should at least have subtitles or, like, the lyrics written out so you can understand.
Like a sing-along.
So you can understand what's going on. So now, Grace, they're saying, well, it's West Side Story. Miss Zegler, who is the lead actress there, she says the reason they eliminated subtitles is because they wanted to do it as an act of respect.
For
Spanish. Well, so just think about this. They're thinking, okay, well, most people in America are not Spanish speaking.
No.
So therefore, it's disrespectful for them to put those subtitles up there.
Okay.
They say it's disrespectful for Spanish people.
Okay.
She also said, and I think this is probably the real reason. She said it was an acknowledgement of the fact English is not the official language of the United States.
Oh, there it is.
So here's what Miss Zegler, the Broadway actress, had to say. This is the quote. It's respect. It's respect. It's respect for my upbringing in a Spanish-speaking household, senor. It is a respect for the fact that this nation does not have an official language. It's respect to the fact that it's 2021, girl. Learn Spanish.
I did minor in Spanish.
I know enough to get me through the menu at Taco Bell.
Okay.
So I'll take the chalupa and the gordita. But that's about it. So anyway, you've got this crazy gal, Senorita Zegler, up there on Broadway. And she's very upset because you people aren't speaking Spanish out there.
That is amusing.
I think it's a hoot. a hoot. And you know the best part about this? She's not going to get her paycheck. You know, when she goes out there, and the reality is that most people in America do speak English, and they don't like being lectured to by, you know, some highfalutin senorita.
This is true.
Who is clearly muy loco. I know a little bit of Spanish.
I'm not going to go in on your pronunciation, but go ahead.
You know, when I was in junior high school, I had to take Espanol. And our Spanish teacher was, in fact, a woman who spoke Acadian French. She was Cajun. So I'm not quite sure what we learned, but it was
probably some interesting slang.
Clearly. So anyway, there we go. Actor David Alvarez, who plays Maria's brother Bernardo, appreciated Spielberg's decision not to include subtitles. I think it's genius that shows a sign of respect to the Spanish language. A third of the world speaks Spanish. You know what? Fine. Then go to that part of the world. We don't do that here. We speak English. And if you don't like that, just go right back across the border. It's a very simple solution here. Mr. Alvarez says, I think it's time for people to be able to respect a language like that. I think it's also intriguing because it kind of lets the emotions speak for themselves instead of the words. It's really beautiful. It's not beautiful. You're sitting there watching the movie trying to figure out what the heck is going on.
Yeah, I won't be going and seeing that movie. I didn't have any plans to.
Oh, geez-a-loo. Here we go. So Senorita Ziegler, she lists her pronouns. She's one of those kind of people. The pronoun are she, hers, and hers.
Okay.
She previously called America a godforsaken country.
Man, she sounds very bitter.
Well, let me take a moment of personal privilege here, ladies and gentlemen, and offer a message of encouragement to Senorita Ziegler. If she really does believe that America is a godforsaken country, she is more than happy to pack her bags and go relocate to some third world hellhole. And don't let the El Doro hit you in the El Bato.
Not quite, Todd, but I get your idea.
I just wanted to make sure nothing got lost in translation.
I think you avoided that problem.
Unbelievable, these people. Very ungrateful. That's the problem here. You know, people, they come to this. Look, I don't know anything about these people. I'm assuming they're American. They may not be. I don't know. We're just assuming they are. They're born and raised here, and they are taught to hate our country and to disrespect our country. And I hate it. Well, I don't hate it for Spielberg because he's a moron. He should know that one of the reasons why people aren't going to go and see this movie is they can't understand half of it.
Yeah, that's dumb. That seems just like a bad idea all around.
You got the Sharks and the Jets. Literally half of the film is Spanish.
Yeah, that's going to be a little rough.
We should just bring a translator and have like 100 translators just whispering in your ear.
Listen, Spielberg has had some great movies, but maybe it's time to stop.
Spielberg said the lack of subtitles occurred out of respect for the inclusivity of our intentions to hire a totally Latinx. And by the way, they hate that word. The Hispanic people hate the term.
There's
Latinx.
This is true.
Sounds like Kleenex. Sounds like you're going to blow your nose or something.
Next thing you know, they're going to go back and find E.T. offensive. So what are you going to do?
So apparently they only hired it. So they didn't hire the best. They just hired people based on their ethnicity. And then Spielberg is wondering why it's a dud. I mean, come on.
I mean, again, you've done a lot of movies, dude. How do you mess up that bad? I mean, obviously this is how, but I just mean...
I'm curious to see the audition tapes. Okay, sir. How do you say, I don't know, hello, buenos dias. You got the part.
There you go.
That's it. And you know what? He gets what he deserves. Despite widespread critical acclaim and a robust built-in fan base, and everybody, this particular musical just has a massive fan base. It has proven to be a box office catastrophe, and it could cost the studio well over $100 million. It only earned $15 million globally on opening weekend.
Yikes.
They get what they deserve.
All I'm saying is I'm going to see Spider-Man this weekend, not that.
Oh, is that already happening?
It's coming out Thursday night, and I will be there.
Oh, we got to get Avery on.
That sounds good.
He's probably already in line somewhere.
Probably, because let's just say the tickets are pretty much sold out everywhere at this point.
Avery Bryson, ladies and gentlemen, who what is his official title? Does he still have a title?
I call him our official nerd.
Our official nerd. All right. That works.
Anything pop culture, we go to him.
All right. Well, there you go. So anyway, there you have it, folks. A little bit of movie news. Steven Spielberg overseeing a catastrophe at the box office, and it's all because he refused to hire actors who could act. He just hired based on ethnicity, and then half the movie's in another language other than English. This is where we are, Grace Baker. This is where we are in America. All right. 844-747-8868. Do you have a problem with that? Would you go to see a movie that did not have subtitles? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. I don't even go to see movies with subtitles. It's too much work. I just want to sit there and watch. I don't want to have to read, Grace. You want to go? You want to enjoy your popcorn? $15 bag?
You just want to turn your brain off and watch.
Your jug of Diet Coca-Cola, Baptist Martini?
Well, like I said, I'm going to watch Spider-Man and a bunch of bad guys fight each other.
Is it in English?
Yes.
There you go. All right, we'll be right back, America.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
To the Todd Starnes radio show. Wow. So there is a new Christmas song out. No, it's not for Mannheim Steamroller, Grace, but I do love Mannheim Steamroller. They're good folks. This is from a pair of gals who are warbling about wearing a mask on a Christmas. I want to warn you, if you are currently eating a sandwich, you might want to just finish up that bite of sandwich and step away from the sandwich for just a moment. Grace, have you heard? You've heard this. It's pretty shocking.
I had to like walk out of the room.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it.
But this again goes to show you the depths of depravity, and the
this is pretty rough
and the lack of tone from many on the left. Let's take a listen.
Political division to get our COVID count so low. Oh, to know. I'm dreaming of a mask.
It's like a cat.
Christmas.
And a dishwasher.
Don't wanna see no chin diapers in here.
Seriously, on the mouth and the nose.
Or get out. Come on. It's not that hard.
Okay, enough of that.
All I got to say is get me out of here. Oof.
Part of me wants to get COVID just so I don't have to hear that again.
Is there a symptom of COVID that perhaps, makes me lose my ability to hear? That would be great.
Yeah, these people are nuts. I mean, these pro-vaccine fundamentalists, they freak me out. And it's just, I don't get it. I don't, they're clearly suffering from some sort of a mental illness, a mental disease.
Do you think that was maybe a joke because it's so bad?
No. I think these people are just, they're nut jobs. That's what I think.
Jimmy Fallon came out with one too, but at least it was catchy. It was still disturbing. But that one's like, you got to plug your ears so you can't even like listen to it.
Look, I understand you're, a pro-vaccine fundamentalist, whoever you are out there who did this, but at least you could take a few voice lessons. they can do something about the pitchiness.
I mean, look, I don't try to sing.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you heard me just a second ago.
Yeah, that's not good.
It sounds like a cat in a dishwasher.
Yeah, wouldn't want to. Yeah.
Just being honest.
California, by the way, you folks in California, the Golden State, big news. This is from Jill Cowan of the New York Times. California, once again, requiring residents to wear masks in indoor public settings. So it doesn't matter where you are, church, school, your house, you have to wear a mask. And the reason why is because of the spread of the highly contagious but non-lethal Omicron virus.
Coronavirus!
I mean, folks, at what point... Thank you, Cardi B. At what point... Was that Cardi B? Thank you, Cardi B. Really?
Coronavirus!
Oh, yeah, it's Cardi. All right. So the mandate goes into effect on Wednesday, will remain until at least January 15th. Can we just get real here? Folks, this is never going away. You people in California, unless you do something about your government leaders, these overlords, you're hosed. You're going to be dealing with this your entire life. That's what that's all about. By the way, you people in New York State, now you've got to wear masks in public. And if you don't, and you're in a business and you're not wearing your mask, the business could get fined thousands of dollars. I mean, these people, do you understand why people are fleeing places like New York State and California? New York on Monday began yesterday, began requiring people to wear masks indoors if proof of full vaccination was not required. Businesses that do not require patrons to be masked could face civil and criminal penalties, including fines of up to $1,000 per violation. It's a COVID tax. I mean, that's what it is. And at some point, you have to imagine they're going to be separating us into different piles of people. You've got COVID Americans and regular Americans. That's where we're going with all of this. If you've got the vaccine and you've been vaccinated, you get to live your life. And if you don't, well, you're screwed. They'll send you off to the camps in some godforsaken place like, I don't know, the Bronx or Berkeley, California. Or even worse, Seattle. So this is where we are. I'm curious to know if this has caused you to change any of your holiday plans. I know a lot of people like to go up to New York City at Christmas time. That's normally when most of the tourists are actually coming from America. Most of the tourists in New York City are from, you know, other places like Europe or wherever. But I'm curious to know if this is causing you to change your vacation plans if you were planning to go to California or if you're planning to go to New York. And I have to imagine it's greatly impacting the tourist industry in Hawaii, where they're just as far left as anything else in the country. So we'll be taking your calls on this in the next hour. Coming up, Senator Ted Cruz is going to drop by. Also, Hogan Gidley from Newsmax will be here as well. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to remind you about MyPillow. We have some awesome, awesome Christmas specials at MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. You can get the classic standard MyPillow, normally $69.98. Now you're going to be able to pick it up for $19.98 with my promo code. They've got over 150 products, all sorts of great products for you and your home. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com/Starnes and use the promo code Starnes, and you're going to get some great deals. You can also call 800-544-8939. That's 800-544-8939. Mike Lindell, a great friend of this program, wants to hook you up with some terrific Christmas specials. All right, got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting from Liberty University Studios.
from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of people are really riled up today, fighting mad, because Fox News Channel is not covering the Mark Meadows text messaging story. They're not talking about their own employees, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Brian Kilmeade. They're not talking about their involvement in these text messages. And look, I mean, that's Fox News' decision. I will say this, until Fox News Channel goes out there and starts defending their own people, I'm under no obligation to defend anybody. But I am curious. CNN, by the way, CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. Appreciate that. CNN, they've been raising Cain. The Dwarf King, Brian Stelter, is very upset. As a matter of fact, we have a piece of audio here of Brian Stelter just a few moments ago as he complained about Fox News Channel. Let's take a listen.
Well, they don't do anything. They're just ignoring this story. Shame on them. Shame on you, Fox News.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is Brian Stelter, the Dwarf King from CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Again, thank you, Judge Joe Brown. Well, I just have a question for Brian Stelter. How come you guys haven't been covering that producer of yours, the one that's charged with shocking sex crimes against children, the one who is a producer for one Fredo Cuomo, who has been accused of all sorts of horrible things? Why aren't you guys talking about that story? And I'll throw another softball out there for you, little Dwarf King. Why aren't you guys out there talking about Don Lemon, little Donnie Lemon, who is at Murph's Bar over in the Hamptons doing unmentionable things with an innocent man? Don't seem to recall that on the news over at CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you again, Judge Joe Brown. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Newsmax contributor, Hogan Gidley. Hogan, good to have you with us.
Well, it's good to be with you. I'm, you know, you're a little fired up today. I can feel that.
You know, Hogan, it aggravates me when CNN is out there, you're throwing bombs at Fox News Channel when they're basically running some sort of a sex operation over there. I just don't get it.
Well, they're sure not running a news operation, that's for sure. That they've been so low in the ratings for so long. Look, I just CNN's so irrelevant to any conversation we're having in politics. They can cry all they want to, but it's the tree that falls in the forest. Does it actually make a sound? I mean, no one's listening to CNN. No one cares what they have to say. Their anchors are so discredited at this point. They have no news value whatsoever. It's all opinion. You know, Donald Trump always used to ask me, who's the worst to us? Who treats us the worst? And I said, well, none of them are really good. A few handfuls out there actually ask some good questions, like Newsmax and others. But, you know, CNN's the worst because they try to pretend as though what they're delivering every day is information and news. It's not. It's all bias. It's all opinion. And the whole thing's just irrelevant. So I get why we're leading with this. I get the conversation. But at the same time, let's also not pretend, and you went through a good litany of things CNN had not covered as it related to their own problems, their own network. But I used to get text messages from people at CNN all the time saying, you know, here's what you guys should do. Hey, we really want you on. What if we worked it out this way? That's what anchors and reporters do to people who hold office, to people who work for those who hold offices, because they want access. They want to be, you know, seen as an ally so that you'll do more, you know, interviews with them. That's kind of part of the deal. So CNN engages in that, too.
Oh, look.
So the whole thing is hypocritical.
And we do as well on this show. I mean, it's all part of the game you play because, you know, and again, you want to treat people fairly. But, you know, there are, you know, everybody's doing what the Fox News people were doing. with these text messages to Mark Meadows. And what was really unfair, and Liz Cheney has an axe to grind here, but there were other reporters from left-leaning organizations that were also sending text messages out on that day, and she did not read those. So she wanted to give the impression that there was some sort of a special, unique thing going on here. And I think, Hogan, I'd like to get your take on this. I think she actually undermined the whole argument about this being some sort of a coordinated insurrection involving Trump and Fox News and everybody else.
Yeah, that's absolutely insane. Liz Cheney, I mean, again, someone who has fallen so far off the map in relevance. And, whenever a Republican has an axe to grind, it's the MSNBCs, it's the CNNs that'll let you on to talk about how much you can be self-loathing and how much you can, bask in the glow of the left for just a brief shining moment so that you can, feel some of their love because you're angry at something that happened on the right. They don't want, Liz Cheney on there when they were calling, Dick Cheney a warmonger and a murderer, Hitler and all the like. They didn't have her on there. And it's interesting that Liz Cheney has such a short memory that she forgets the fact that people like her father were persona non grata to most of the mainstream media because they felt his policies were so evil. Halliburton was the thing that was polluting the earth and would ruin life as we know it on this planet and cause all the polar ice caps to melt. We'd all be snorkeling for a living, once he got done with his horrible environmental ways. All those things they said about Dick Cheney, she just has forgotten that. And she forgets about the folks who've been standing with her in the foxhole in those fights time and time again. But look, that again is kind of the thing that the media is looking for today is just someone to defect from the right that they can prop up as a very credible conservative, as someone who really wants to return to the glory days of the right and the left having elevated conversations. But the left jettisoned elevated conversations in reason and logic decades ago. So I don't think there's any place for those conversations anymore, sadly.
Hogan, these text messages, the left and the rhinos making political hay, anything you read in those text messages that gave you pause for concern?
Not really, and I honestly haven't even been following the story that much. This is the type of thing that happens in D.C. all the time, and then when it benefits a narrative, they blow it up as though it's some shocking new revelation and a tactic that no one has ever employed. Only the evil people on the right could think of contacting a politician and offer their opinion. I mean, I used to get that stuff from CNN all the time when they would text me and say, hey, we want you to come on. We really want you to fight with so-and-so. We want you to, say these types of things so we can really have a good segment. They try to lead you into what to say on different segments, even if I didn't believe it. And I would tell them, I don't really like that line because that's not where my position is. And they'd inevitably cancel my participation in that particular panel. Look, I don't think this is a big deal. I've not seen anything in there, heard anything in the last 24 hours that would give me any kind of concern or any kind of alarm at all.
Well, it sure looks like they're coming after Mark. They're going to be voting today. We're expecting that vote to happen today. Criminal contempt charges. Look, I've known Mark Meadows for well over a decade. I can't think of a finer person with a great moral foundation than Mark Meadows.
Well, look, I mean, it's pretty obvious that commission has already decided what they're going to do. They're just going to try and tar and feather Republicans all the way up until the 2022 midterms because they have nothing to run on right now. And every time they're pressed or asked serious questions, all they can do is point back to January 6th as a problem. They never address the issues facing real Americans today as opposed to a handful of idiots who tried to storm the Capitol and got squashed within hours. So I don't know anything about Mark's defense or where he's going to be at the end of this. I don't even know if a criminal contempt even matters coming out of Congress, especially when up and down the aisles on about both sides, you got some criminals. So I don't even know what they're talking about. But regardless, I think this is much ado about nothing.
Quite frankly, Hogan, we ought to be holding Congress in contempt for their behavior, to be honest.
Right. I mean, don't they have a fund set aside, too, for people like with sexual indiscretions that they have to pay off? I mean, give me a break.
Exactly.
You know, like, I'm not going to take a lecture on morality with the cavalcade of clowns over there in Congress.
Unbelievable. All right, Hogan, we got to leave it there. Good stuff as always. Hogan Gidley, you can see him on Newsmax TV, our favorite broadcast network. Hogan, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Thanks so much, Todd.
All right, good guy right there, Hogan Gidley, straight shooter. So, look, Shapiro brought this up, and I want to, and this goes back to something I said in the very first hour of this program. Here's, I'm going to read this tweet from Shapiro. Just to get this straight, apparently every Fox News host plus Don Jr. was texting Mark Meadows to tell Trump to talk down the rioters. And this somehow demonstrates a coordinated conspiracy to overthrow the government springing from Fox News and its ilk. Look, the point is that many other journalists, including liberal journalists, were doing the exact same thing that the Fox News people were doing. But Liz Cheney only chose to select the Fox News host and Don Jr. Tweets or text messages to make her point. So, no, this is not some sort of a coordinated conspiracy. It's the exact opposite of that. And in reality, and we know this from Jake Sherman from Punch Bowl, that he, too, had been texting Mark Meadows, and he actually shared his tweets. All that to say, you cannot believe everything coming out of Washington on face value. You've got to do your homework. Got to do your homework. All right, got to take a break. Opening up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number, folks, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Supreme Court. Folks, we do not have a conservative majority on the Supreme Court. Hate to break that to you, but it's the truth. So yesterday, the Supreme Court, late in the day, cited against religious liberty. The Supreme Court said that New York was right to block healthcare workers from taking jobs if they claimed a religious exemption to the China virus vaccine. So the court yesterday refused to block a New York regulation that forces doctors and nurses to get the China virus vaccine. You can have a medical exemption that will excuse you, but not a religious exemption. And that rule went into effect back in August. So if you want to be a doctor or a nurse in New York State, you now have to choose between your faith and your career. Only three justices, Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch, dissented. New York Governor Kathy Hochul, and I'm curious to get your thoughts from our Christians in the listening audience. New York Governor Kathy Hochul suggested during a church service that Christians who refuse to get the vaccine are theologically flawed. Governor Hochul says God wants Americans to get vaccinated. Is that true? Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Does God want Americans to get vaccinated? Is that true? Where is that in the Holy Bible? Is that one of the, I don't know, commandments that got left off?
Thou shalt not get a vaccine.
You mean thou shalt get a vaccine?
That too, verily, verily.
You know, Beth Moore basically said the same thing too, not that long ago.
Beth Moore. Is she that radical loon? She used to be, she's like the lady Bible teacher, right?
I was going to say, I followed her like on Twitter, I mean, years ago. Wow. And so I still follow her. But her tweets have radically changed over the years.
Wow,
but now I follow for the entertainment purposes.
She came down with a raging case of the TDS, Trump
yes.
Derangement Syndrome.
Unfortunately, there is no cure.
My goodness. And is she related to that other guy, Russell Moore,
The Ooh. Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission guy.
Yeah.
Very unpleasant people, those two. They may, are they related? Do we know?
I don't know. But they do hang out a lot.
Well, they are, and they do share a lot of political viewpoints.
I've noticed that too.
Mm-mm-mm. So anyway, the Supreme Court says, yeah, your religious liberty doesn't matter anymore. Now, I have a question for you, the fine listeners of this audience. What would you do if you were in a situation like that and you have a legitimate religious problem with getting a vaccine or doing this or that, and you claim that exemption and they turn you down? And now in New York State, they're going to tell people, okay, you want to be a nurse, you got to leave your religious beliefs at home. What do you do? Do you leave your religious beliefs at home to get the job, or do you say, okay, I'll go somewhere else? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Grace Baker, I was on my way back from Liberty University.
Yes.
And I was needing some dinner, so I pull off the road. It was around 6:30, 6:45. Pull into the parking lot of the Cracker Barrel.
That's always a good spot.
Good spot. You're going to get a good meal.
You know what you're going to get.
I'm a country fried steak guy. Go into the Cracker Barrel, and they tell me, sir, we're closing at 7. We don't have enough staff.
Oh, man.
We can't serve you.
Dang.
So I went to the Waffle House instead.
You got
to
do what you got to do.
Got to do what you got to do. I bring that story up, ladies and gentlemen, because of a report involving IHOP. Several IHOPs around the nation. That's the International House of Pancakes for you folks in Seattle, Washington. Several IHOPs announced they have had to reduce their hours of operation, and they blame the reduction in services on President Biden. So they posted signs that there was an IHOP in Arkansas and one in Alaska, Wasilla, Alaska. And here's what the sign says. Due to the fact that Biden gave out way too much free money and nobody wants to work anymore, we are forced to reduce our hours during the week. So I believe, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, I think IHOP rather used to be open 24/7, much like Waffle House. But the reality is now many restaurants are having to shorten their hours simply because they don't have enough workers. I mean, I hate to say it, but man, has our nation gotten lazy? I mean, flat out lazy. How many months was Biden paying people to stay at home and to sit in the lazy boy? Unbelievable. And I hear this argument over and over and over and over again. They just, restaurants especially, you guys, your industry has just been devastated by these policies. But what does it say about our country that the average American citizen doesn't want to get up and go to work? Instead, they want a handout from the government. What does that say about us? How do we fix that problem? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868. Have folks on hold. John in Texas, Mike in Maine, Hayne, tight guys. Don't go anywhere. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now from the great state of South Carolina. Our good friend, Congressman Ralph Norman. Congressman, good to have you back with us.
Well, glad to be with you, Todd. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you, Congressman. Hey, look, I want to get your reaction to that Supreme Court case that came down yesterday with New York health care workers. Basically, you got to choose between your faith and a job in New York now.
You know, that was surprising. Supreme Court has had some interesting rulings that they've taken up and those that they have not. You know, to dismiss both these for the health care workers, doctors, and nurses was, I think, the wrong decision. I think that, you know, the arguments that the Alitos, Gorsuch, and Thomas, who dissented, Gorsuch at least, said that the link between the health care workers and the, I guess, World War II Jehovah's Witness to school children who refused were similar. But I was kind of shocked at that.
It's a reminder that Republican presidents always have a bit of a challenge putting justices on the Supreme Court. You never know which way they're going to go.
Well, it has been, and John Roberts kind of leads the pack on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's an interesting time, and, you know, the good news is we've the majority are supposedly conservative, and I think they are. And I think we'll see it in June with Roe v. Wade. I think that hopefully will turn out where that's overturned, or a version of it anyway.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congressman Ralph Norman. Congressman, a big conversation yesterday with this January 6th committee and these text messages between Mark Meadows and Don Trump Jr. and the Fox News host. Any concerns that you see coming out of those text messages?
Well, I think Mark was right in not complying. I think he tried to, and this is a dog and pony show. They're trying to keep the focus on Trump, making him the main issue. They're trying to draw in everybody. He had, you know, privileges that he just didn't want to disclose from the president, and rightfully so. Will it be interesting, the vote that we take in the House, probably when we go to votes today? But it doesn't shock me. Miss, you know, Pelosi and her crowd are intent on keeping the focus on this. The sad part is the people, the 50-some people who have been basically held hostage for a year now, without a trial, without charges, without releasing the video, which is, it's un-American, and it's just another overreach by the socialist left.
Would you call those people at this point political prisoners?
Absolutely. What else could it be? Todd, I mean, the fact that, and I understand the only time they've let anybody see them is when Louis Gohmert went in, and I'm not sure he had a few others, but they've been denying anybody to see them, and I understand some of the elderly people need medical help, which they're denying. This is a politicization of political prisoners, and it's un-American. I mean, if you have a traffic ticket, you have a right to a trial. And these people, to be held without, you know, against their will, they can't hire attorneys, they can't put up a defense. This is what happens in Cuba and Venezuela.
That's what concerns me. And I know we've had Marjorie Taylor Greene on. She's taken up this cause, and some of the, you know, describing some of the conditions in the jail. It's just beyond understanding why those people are still incarcerated. You've got Black Lives Matter terrorists that are out on the streets, and they were literally trying to burn down federal buildings and engage in brutal fights with police. It makes no sense.
No, and for the vice president to put up bond money and to support non-cash, to basically do away with bonds, is amazing. And look at the destruction they did. You know, the press tried to report it as, you know, as peaceful protests. Look at the up to 30 cities that were basically burned to the ground. Look at the businesses that are going to lose income for the time they're not in business, not to mention the dollars that they're going to have to put up to rebuilding their individual buildings for no fault of their own. And yet, you know, you have these insurrectionists, which I would argue that's not the terminology for what happened. We were there. I was there on January 6th. What the people did to go in was not right. They didn't burn the place down. They didn't try to overthrow the government. As a definition of insurrection is, and it's a tragedy. It really is.
Congressman, another item real quick. Air Force announcing they have discharged 27 members now for refusing to take the China virus vaccine. We believe this is the first of any enforcement action by the military. Your reaction to that, sir?
Well, it's, you know, for them to do that, for our military, which is being cut at every way, at every juncture, this administration is trying to disassemble a military that under Donald Trump was one of the best in the world. And now that they're doing this, I'm glad that the Army, Navy, and the Marines are not going to discharge anybody until next year. And I hopefully will have some relief in that time period. But, you know, it's a disconnect with this administration if and it continues. And they're tone deaf to what they're doing. They really are.
You know, Congressman, I want to circle back to this. Do you know, have you guys been given a number of political prisoners that are being held?
From what I understand, the Louis Gohmert who went in, there's like 56. I think it's under 60, hopefully it's not more than 60. But I understand 56 to 60.
That's just unacceptable. We've got to get those people out. They should be allowed to post bond. And at this point, there are people that have committed far worse crimes in America that have been able to get out of jail.
Yeah, and look at what they're suffering. And as I mentioned, some need medical care. I understand from Congressman Gohmert, one elderly man has got a broken hand that's set on its own because of not getting an orthopedic surgeon to look at it. You know, again, this is what happens in the communist-run countries that how Washington, D.C. allows this is amazing. You're going to see a push now to get these people out by a lot of different people. Marjorie Taylor has done a good job, but you're going to have others that are going to try to get the job done to get them at least out and, you know, entitled to get their lawyers and to have a trial, which is a basis of our Constitution.
Well, and if nothing else, honestly, this is the time for the minority leader to stand up and lead the charge on that. I mean, I appreciate the great work Marjorie Taylor Greene's doing, but we need Kevin McCarthy to step up to the plate and lead the charge, Steve Scalise as well.
You know, you're exactly right. This should not be a Democrat-Republican issue. This is a basic rights issue that we ought to all be joining with. Now, I don't expect the Democrats to because they are in lockstep with Ms. Pelosi, and they're worried about what will happen to them if they buck her. But all the Republicans ought to stand up. And now it's gotten to the point of being this is political prisoners is the right word for it, and it should not happen in America.
All right, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Always good hearing from you, and thanks for the great info and intel.
Thank you for what you do. Merry Christmas.
All right, Merry Christmas, Congressman. Ralph Norman there from South Carolina. The headline coming out of that conversation, there are believed to be at least 56 political prisoners still being held in jails in Washington, D.C. as a result of what happened on January the 6th. So these people have almost been in jail for almost a year now. They have not had any sort of opportunity to post bail. As the congressman said, one elderly man had a broken hand, and unfortunately he was not able to get treatment for it. And the break set, and therefore his hand is disfigured, much like, I have to imagine, what happened to Senator John McCain when he was in one of the POW camps there in Vietnam. And here we have a POW camp right here in Washington, D.C. Unbelievable what's happening there. All right, let's go to the phones here. A lot of folks have been holding on for a while, 844-747-8868. Let's go to the great state of Texas. John, listening to us on the Big D. That's AM 1160. John, what's going on? What's on your mind? Hello, John. All right, let's put John on hold. We'll get that figured out. Let's go to Mike in Maine, WLOB. Mike, what's on your mind?
What's going on, Todd? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, listen. You know, this decision by the court yesterday is horrendous. You know, if you think these guys are going to overturn Roe v. Wade, better think again. They've got this court so damn scared between the death threats they receive continuously, which is, you know, we watched what Kavanaugh went through. And when you watch Schumer on the steps of the Supreme Court threaten Gorsuch, that Gorsuch, we're coming for you. Look, that's a criminal threat against a federal judge. Anyone, even a congressman that does it, needs to be arrested for obstruction of justice and had their butts thrown in jail. They got to quit threatening the courts. These people are afraid to even take cases on anymore.
Mike, look, I hear what you're saying. I don't think anybody ought to be threatening anybody. But the reality is these justices, they cannot be cowed or bullied by this. I mean, look, we get death threats here all the time, but that's not going to shut us up. Those guys have security. So they've got to stand up and do the right thing. I'm tired of this cowardice. And that's all it is cowardice.
Yep, exactly. And you know, but like I say, threatening a federal judge is a federal crime, and it's about time that they issued warrants for these people to do it. Until they do that, it's not going to get straightened out. They're going to cower.
I've got no problem with
family members. Yeah, they threaten their family members every day and everything else. So even with security, Todd, because I've worked security for years, it's scary because you got to sort out every damn threat. And the one you miss is the one that gets through.
Well, it's unbelievable, and it's a fair point, but we've got to, you're right, these people need to be punished, but these justices need to stand up and do the right thing, and I'm sick and tired of them, and I'm sick and tired of especially the justice appointed by Republicans betraying the people, and that's all that is an outright betrayal. Mike, God bless you. Thanks for the call. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Dias Amigos. I'm trying out for a West Side Story, Grace. I'm working on my Spanish. It needs a little, it's a little rusty. Feliz Navidad. Let's go to the phones. John, listening to us on the Big D, AM 1160 in Texas. All right, John, good to have you back with us. What's going on?
How's it going, Todd?
It's going pretty good. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about your question about the vaccine. If you know, if you're required to do it, I think that even if it violates your religious convictions, I think you got to follow your convictions. You know, God's going to provide, not whoever your employer is.
You know, it's hard to imagine that we would reach a point in America where, you know, we would actually be faced with that decision. As Justice Gorsuch wrote in his fiery dissent, he said, the fact of the matter is people came to this country so they could practice their religious beliefs. And here they're being told, you've got to make a choice now.
Yeah, that's the question I was asking. I was like, what country are we in?
It's a valid point, John, and I mean, you guys are pretty lucky there in Texas for the most part. You guys are a free state. My concern about Texas is that all of these people moving out of and evacuating from California are coming to your state, and I'm wondering if you guys are starting to see any sort of a shift in the political landscape.
Well, the good news is I moved from the West Coast to Texas for this reason. So,
is that right?
More conservative. Yep.
What was it for you? Now, tell us, what state were you in?
Washington.
All right, wow. All right. So you moved from Washington. What was it? What was the final straw for you?
I think it was just all the restrictions and everything that was going on. We had already thought about it, and we were like a fish out of water, so it felt like it was the right. It just gave us a nice kick in the rear end to get out of there.
Well, good for you, John, and I think you made the right choice, and God bless you. Texas is a great place, and thanks for listening to our great affiliate there, AM 1160.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, there you go. John from Texas, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, there is a new, where is that? Oh, here we go. There's a new survey from ABC News. 61% of Americans disapprove of how Biden has been handling the crime epidemic in America. ABC News released the poll, and then they turned around and they completely just erased it as if it just didn't exist. And this goes back to the Biden White House going after the networks and saying, hey, you guys are not being good to Joe Biden. You need to give him the Obama treatment. And so they're deep-sixing all of the negative stories about Joe Biden. Unbelievable. 61%. All right, let's go to Central Arkansas. Steve on the line. All right, Steve, what's on your mind?
Hey, Steve. Todd, I've got a proposal. It seems like the best, about the only way we get anything right through our court systems is when it goes to a jury trial. Why don't we replace the Supreme Court with a Supreme Jury?
And, oh, gosh.
Let's get a jury up there that has the final say on all this stuff and see if things don't go a little more toward the Constitution in the way this country is supposed to operate.
I'm having visions of the O.J. Simpson trial dance in my head right now, Steve.
Yeah, but that was so skewed by the judge and the lawyers that I'm talking about not have anybody from the justice system in the room, just have a jury to work this stuff out. And just a randomly pulled however many people and give them the facts and everybody get out of the room and I bet you they would come up with a lot better decisions than our jurists do.
You know, Steve, you know who I would love to see on the Supreme Court? Two people. Number one is Judge Judy. And the other is he's from right here in Memphis, Tennessee, and he always, I don't know how he does this, but he always has something to say about CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
That would be Judge Joe Brown, Steve. Could you imagine those two on the Supreme Court?
Well, I mean, anything would be better than what we have now.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, Steve. So the Supreme Jury. Replace the Supreme Court with the Supreme Jury. Oh, it could save us some money, I guess. I don't know. All right, Steve. God bless. Thanks for the call. Always wise words coming from Steve from Arkansas. He's the sage of Arkansas, as we've come to discover. Hey, folks, we got to take a break. A great opportunity for you to head over right now. Sign up for the Todd Starnes podcast. It is free, and we have it available on all sorts of platforms, including iHeart, if you want to go to iTunes. Wherever you get your podcast, you're going to be able to get a copy of the Todd Starnes Show podcast. Also, our newsletter, which comes out in just about an hour or so. You're going to want to sign up for that as well. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back, folks. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting from the Liberty University Studios.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hour three underway. So Jake Tapper over at CNN... the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. Jake Tapper had Amy Klobuchar on, and apparently she was sitting next to Senator Ted Cruz at the funeral for, or the memorial service for, the late Senator Bob Dole. And Klobuchar, I got to give her some credit here. She did not take the bait from Tapper. So Tapper's going on about how you were there. You're a breast cancer survivor, and how did you feel when Ted Cruz showed up next to you not wearing a face mask? As if Cruz was trying to kill Klobuchar or something. It's unbelievable. This is the kind of garbage that our elected leaders on the conservative side of the coin have to put up with from CNN. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now, and I suspect that Senator Ted Cruz is once again unmasked. So, Senator, good to have you with us.
Todd, great to be with you, and your suspicions are correct.
You want to try to like these guys, but they just make it very, very hard.
Well, look, what has happened to CNN in the past 5 years has really been tragic. They've lit themselves on fire. They used to be a news organization. You know, 5 years ago, Todd, I would go on CNN all the time, and they always lean left, but they at least tried to be journalists. So they'd have a panel of five people that they'd have one conservative and then four people on to say the conservative was the devil. And so that was how they tried to deal with balance. When Trump became president, it broke them. It shattered CNN. Now they have a panel of just five leftists to discuss how every Republican is the devil, and they don't even pretend to have balance. And you know what's striking? You think about it. If you had, say, Walter Cronkite sitting down at a chair describing to you what a journalist should do, to be objective, to be fair, to capture both sides, to be nonpartisan, to describe the facts, not to editorialize, CNN doesn't aspire to any of that. They see their mission today as propagandists. They are not just Democrats, partisan Democrats. They are the left wing of the Democratic Party. So they'll push the Democrats to go further left. And you take this moment, Tapper was sitting there trying to bait Amy Klobuchar to take it a shot at me. Now, you know what the irony is? Tapper's sitting at the damn desk, not wearing a mask, just a couple of feet away from Amy, saying, "Isn't it terrible? He was in your presence not wearing a mask." And the hypocrisy of it, even for CNN, was idiotic, and I'll give Amy credit. She took the high road and didn't take Tapper's bait. But, you know, it's what CNN is performance art, the hard left, and they've got like seven viewers because nobody wants to watch that idiocy.
It's true. Well, maybe five now. You know, Fredo's gone, so it's there you go. Senator, big news coming out last night as Liz Cheney read selective text messages between Fox News host Don Trump Jr. and Mark Meadows. And my take on this is a little different, I guess, because it seems to me those text messages undermine the whole point of that committee.
I think you're right. The text messages, people were trying to de-escalate. Listen, on January 6th, we had a violent terrorist attack, and there were people who engaged in acts of violence. My view is simple. If you engage in violence, you should be prosecuted.
Agreed.
And if you physically and violently assault a police officer, you should go to jail for a very long time, and I don't care if you're right wing, left wing, or you don't have any wings at all. And you know, the text messages that Cheney read are of a bunch of folks saying, hey, get people engaged in violence to ratchet down. That was the right message. That was the message certainly many of us were saying publicly. But the aftermath of January 6th, we've seen a couple of things that both the Democrats and the corrupt corporate media are doing. Number one, they cover up, ignore, and even at times celebrate acts of violent terrorists by leftists. We had a whole year of riots, of Black Lives Matter riots and Antifa riots. We had police cars firebombed. We had police officers murdered, stores looted. And not only did the Democrats make light of it, you know, one Democrat official say, oh, it's the summer of love, you know, just firebombing a courthouse, just that's just the summer of love. But Vice President Kamala Harris raised money to pay the bail for the violent criminals committing acts of rioting. So that's complete hypocrisy. But then you put on a second level, which is the Democrats are trying to lump into those who committed acts of violence who should be prosecuted. They want to add everyone else who engaged in peaceful free speech. Their objective is to say every American who voted for Donald Trump, every American who's a Republican, every American who believes in freedom is a radical terrorist undermining democracy.
Right.
And it's a ridiculous political lie, which the corporate media enthusiastically participates in.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And look, this is we still have lots of unanswered questions, a lot of curiosity about, you know, was there FBI involvement in any of this? Why were the Capitol Police told to stand down? Why are so many of these rioters or protesters still in jail, not even being afforded bail? And that is something that a lot of your fellow Republicans in the House have been raising a big stink about.
Well, and that's exactly right. And what you see is a vindictive partisan prosecution and persecution from the Democrats. And if you have individuals who engaged in acts of violence, physically assaulted police officers, they would go to jail a very, very long time. But we see the Biden administration trying to go after people just engaged in peaceful protest. Just, you know, if you were on the mall waving a flag and singing God Bless America, that is not a criminal offense. It's also not a criminal offense if you were on the mall waving a Trump flag. You're even allowed to do that, notwithstanding the Biden White House. And I'll tell you, Todd, when the ridiculousness of it was really revealed, in the 5 months after January 6th, Schumer and Pelosi erected a fence all around the Capitol. At the top of the fence, it was a chain link fence, the top of the fence was razor wire. I mean, it looked like Baghdad behind enemy lines. That fence with the razor wire stood out there 5 months. In front of that fence, they put National Guardsmen, thousands of National Guardsmen, holding machine guns. The machine guns had magazines, had no bullets. So it was pure theater. The red state governor said, this is ridiculous. They brought their guardsmen home. So the guardsmen that were left there were from New York, New Jersey, and Rhode Island. And I'd go talk to them. I'd thank them for their service. And also a person, they recognized this was ridiculous kabuki theater, that this was Pelosi and Schumer trying to say, if you voted for Donald Trump, you're a violent terrorist, and we need soldiers to protect us. I do soldiers with unloaded machine guns just because they're supposed to look scary, but nobody actually thought that there was a meaningful risk. This is partisan political gains from the Democrats, we'll see more of it.
Congressman, or Senator, rather, real quick, I want to get your reaction to the Supreme Court. A lot of people are going, what is up with this? We thought we had a majority on the Supreme Court, and this ruling yesterday, really a setback for religious liberty, at least in New York State.
You know, it was, and I actually commend everyone to read Justice Gorsuch's dissent.
Powerful.
It's a 14-page dissent. It's really powerful. And the end of it, it talks about coming out of World War II, where you know, in the midst of war, people are scared, and they put in demands. And it talks about demands that people say the Pledge of Allegiance, which you and I both support. But there were Jehovah's Witnesses who their faith precluded them from saying a pledge to anything but God, and they challenged it in court. And a case called Gobitis, it's a famous case, the court said, well, sorry, tough luck, you don't have the right to challenge that. We're going to force you to make a pledge contrary to your faith, even if you don't want to. And a few years later, when the kind of passions of the war had subsided, there was another case, Barnett, that overruled Gobitis and said, listen, it was a mistake to trample on religious liberty, and if you have, if your faith precludes you from taking a pledge, you shouldn't be forced to take it contrary to your faith. And what Justice Gorsuch said quite powerfully is he said, listen, pandemics like wartime, people have elevated fears and elevated concerns, but when the court rubber stamps the violations of our core liberties, that's the kind of decision that the court comes to regret and the country comes to regret. In New York, you're seeing doctors and nurses and cops and firefighters and all sorts of people losing their jobs because of these illegal and unconstitutional vaccine mandates, and it's abuse of power. You had three justices ready to stop it. You had Justice Gorsuch, Justice Thomas, Justice Alito. And I got to say, the other six were AWOL, and it was really unfortunate. The court is there to protect our fundamental liberties, and for these New Yorkers being fired for their faith, it's fundamentally wrong.
All right, Senator, we're going to have to leave it there. Appreciate the great information. I guess I know you're a big comics fan. Are you going to go be? Are you going to see the new Spider-Man movie coming out later this week?
You know, I'm sure I will. My girls are 11 and 13, so I suspect usually during the Christmas holidays we go see several movies, and so I'll be surprised if we don't see that. I know my 11-year-old wants to see it, and we'll probably see a couple of others and spend some time just with family. Giving thanks for our many blessings.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Senator, and the Cruz family, and we always appreciate you coming on the program.
Merry Christmas and God bless.
All right, Senator Ted Cruz, ladies and gentlemen, there on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So, and he had a lot to say, not too happy about Jake Tapper. And it's true. Here's Jake Tapper complaining about Ted Cruz being unmasked and possibly putting breast cancer survivor Amy Klobuchar in danger. And meanwhile, he's doing the exact same thing. Unbelievable. By the way, Grace, I have to tell you, you left me a note.
Oh, yes, I did.
On my show. Have a fantastic show with a little smiley face inside the O.
Yes.
And then you did hashtag LGB, and it took me a second. I'm like, wait, what? So let's go, Brandon.
Yeah.
Not the alphabet people.
Yeah, I didn't quite know. It's LGB, stop.
Well, very clever. I like that. Hey, I went downstairs in the break, Grace, and we've got like tons of like gifts from people.
It's turning into a bakery down there.
Unbelievable. So our good friend Vicky Gandy, that's G-A-N-D-E, and she's my realtor. And it's if you're looking for a house in the Memphis area, she is great. Go Team Gandy, GANDEE.com. I'm giving her a shout out because she brought by homemade bread.
Oh, yeah. And it's like the softest bread.
Soft as a pillow. It's like a My Pillow.
Yes.
If My Pillow were bread, that would be whatever. Very good.
That would be
the
equivalent.
So she also brought some homemade cheese.
Yes.
Who does that? So she says the cheese is smoked by a good friend of mine, Bob Young. He's a Marine, and he lives in Germantown. And it's she says, you're going to love it. It's smoked Gouda.
Not smoked Parmesan.
No, it's not. No. There's no artwork involved here, Grace. This is great. Well, thank you, Vicky Gandy, and thank you, Bob the Marine from Germantown. And we're going to be eating high on the hog, as they say. Franklin Graham sent over some delicious chocolate almond toffee. So we may have to go for a walk or two around the block. Maybe get out one of those treadmills or something. Hey, folks, we got to take a break. We're going to the phones when we come back. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Mannheim Steamroller. You know it's Christmas when Mannheim Steamroller is in the bumper music rotation. And Grace, you know what we're going to do? In the next half hour, we're going to throw out a trivia question, and we've got some Mannheim Steamroller CDs to give away.
Sounds
That's old school. But they sent us a huge box of them.
Yes, they did.
Along with, like, cocoa.
Yes, cinnamon hot cocoa.
They're in the hot cocoa business. Who knew?
Who knew?
Well, I guess, you know, when you're not making music, you got to make a little cocoa.
This is true. Well,
there you go. All right. Let's go to David in Georgia, WDUN. David, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. It's great to speak to you. And also, I love your book. I started about midway through it. A fantastic book. You've done an excellent job on that.
Thank you.
But also, like I was telling Grace that this out of work is crazy. The downtown where I live is turned into like a mini California. I mean, the drive-throughs are backed up. You actually have to go around them in town. I mean, literally, there would be a line. I think our local McDonald's is the only one that's probably half-staffed where it's not an issue. But it's just unreal how these people can make a living. I mean, how they can survive not working. I mean, I couldn't do that. I just don't understand this government and how they're letting people just stay at home. It's just it's causing a problem. I mean, they don't understand the problem that this is causing to small communities and large communities. It's just it's hard to fathom. If you ask me, Todd, I'm just baffled.
Now, David, you're telling me that your small town in Georgia, your little downtown area, it looks like California?
Yeah, it's like a mini California because of the traffic jam. You know, it's not designed for, you know, people to be stopped and waiting to go through. I mean, there would be a line going through the drive-through. It's just crazy. I mean, they're out of the turning where they turn in their parking lot, and they're actually lined up down the road. I mean, literally lined up down the road, like Zach B's and these other restaurants. And it's crazy, Todd. You just have to see it to believe it. It's just unreal. And they had no help. You know, you got one person doing the cooking, one person trying to do the drive-through. It's ridiculous.
No, I believe it, David. Look, it's happening here in Memphis, Tennessee as well. And I know that on Poplar Avenue, which is one of the main thoroughfares, the drive-through for the Chick-fil-A is backed up down the road. Have a little traffic jam there on Poplar Avenue. So I hear you. David, appreciate the call and appreciate you letting us know what's happening there. And we do want to know what's happening in your communities as well as far as these worker shortages. We do know that what IHOP is having to cut their hours. I was at the Cracker Barrel over in somewhere, Virginia, and went in at 6:45. They said, sorry, sir, we can't seat you because we close at 7. And so had to go. Went to Waffle House, by the way, Grace. Pretty good.
Not my favorite.
I'm a Huddle House guy. You know, I like Huddle House more so than Waffle House.
I have no preference because I don't really go to either.
Oh, well, you got to go to Huddle House.
I like Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel's okay. It's not like it used to be. You know, I don't know what happened, but Cracker Barrel is just, it's okay.
I feel like that tends to happen to everything, right, over time?
Yeah,
chains,
it's
like that.
I think it's a quality control issue.
Yeah.
Now, I may be you know, someone may say, Todd, you don't know what you're talking about. You're off your, how dare you talk about Cracker Barrel? That's heresy. But I don't know, I'm just telling you. This is my observation, my experience. All right, we got Murph in Germantown. Oh, can't wait to hear what he has to say. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. The Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to the lines. Germantown, Tennessee. Murph, listening to us on the great KWAM. Hey, Murph, what's going on?
Dr. Stearns, Merry Christmas to you and the babes there. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. Did you say the babe?
No, the bake. B-A-K-E.
Bake.
George the Baker.
Oh.
Anybody named Baker's always the bake.
Oh, the bake. All right. I like that. The bake.
There you go. I have a commentary, please, sir, about this court ruling that came down. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But, you know, St. Paul has written that government was ordained, the civil authority was ordained by the Almighty to protect us from evil and bad things. And it's kind of a conundrum. Because the pontification is coming from the executive branch of these states and not the legislature. And the executive is to execute the laws of the legislature, according to Johnny Adams, because it was the voice of the people. That's the problem I have with it. And the second thing is these mandates is basically a one-size-fits-all. And this vaccine, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, compared to Salk vaccine, hasn't been out that long. What, 18, 24 months at the most? And the reactions are devastating, if you can believe what you read, even to the 1 or 2% that, you know, that have adverse reactions.
You know, Murph, let me jump in here. And you're on to something here. And I think it goes back to Barack Obama, and he really set precedent with the executive order granting amnesty to the Dreamers, and then the Supreme Court upholding that. Kathy Hochul, the New York governor, I mean, this is just a mandate. This is not something that was voted on by the people. This is just something they came up with.
Yes, sir. We have no voice in any of this. And I appreciate, you know, that the executives of the state, several states, for their concern. But you just can't point your fingers and say, everybody get one of these, regardless of your physical conditions, your pre-existing conditions, your metabolism, your makeup, so on and so forth. I mean, it's like shooting, you know, a shotgun at everybody and hoping you hit everybody. So, and one more commentary, please, sir. I'm in the middle of a book called Presidents at War, and it just we just finished the section on FDR during the Second World War, prior to and during the Second World War. And it's so close to a carbon copy of what the Democratic Party ascribes to these days is almost identical to what the Democratic Party was doing from 1933, the front end of the Depression, to the end of the Second World War. That big government and tons of subsidies can solve everything. And it's amazing, the similarities. So,
Murph, I'm looking right now at the producer price index. It exploded, 9.6%. Yes. Murph, I see where in the next couple of years, and again, we're just into the first year of this guy's presidency. I mean, it's possible that we could be plunged into a man-made depression, and throw in the conflict with Ukraine, the Russians. You've got China, and as soon as we take our eye off China, they're in Taiwan. Iran goes after Israel. We could have ourselves a very, very dangerous political cocktail the table.
There was a very interesting article in this one of the issues in the Wall Street Journal this week about the child care benefit that's written in this BBB bill. If you can believe what you read and the numbers are correct, it's going to increase spending in American families $20,000 to $30,000 a family per year. Now, when our little ones were growing up, daycare was $100 a week at church. And I don't know why more churches aren't doing this to begin with, but it's going to rip some people up one side and down the other. So you guys take care and all the best.
All right, Murph, Merry Christmas to you. That's Murph in Germantown. I called you Bake. You thought he said Babe, Grace.
I did, but that makes a lot more sense.
Hey, Babe.
Which, listen.
Hey, Babe.
It's a lot nicer than some of the other things I've been called.
Bake? No, that's good. What's the Hebrew for that, Grace?
Don't even get me started.
That's, wow. You do get some calls.
Oh, I do.
I'll give you that. You get some calls.
This is true.
All right. Mostly good.
But, you know.
All right. We're going to do some trivia here. Grace, I'm kind of excited about this because I'm a big fan of A Christmas Story.
I love that one.
It's one of these movies where it wasn't maybe 2 years ago that I finally saw the entire thing in one setting.
I mean, it's played all day on Christmas Day.
And
on
TBS? And, yeah, on TBS. Yeah, that's right. And I have a family members, and it's Kyle's family, and they actually have the leg lamp.
Really?
Oh, that's yeah. Great. It looks good.
Okay, my husband's never seen that movie, and I said we're going to fix that this year. I was like, how have you not just seen it out of pure just coincidence, like as it's just on all the time?
You know, I am curious to know if people have a favorite Christmas movie.
It's hard for me to narrow it down to one.
Mine is Die Hard.
What? Oh.
I think it's one of my favorite Christmas movies.
My husband's favorite is It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mine, I've got like a couple, but probably Christmas Vacation's up there.
Oh, well,
I think
yeah.
that one's so funny. My favorite part is the grandma. Yeah, it's like say grace, allegiance to the flag. That's my favorite thing. And the cat getting electrocuted in the tree. I'm not a cat person.
You're not a big cat person. That's terrible. You know you're going to get angry calls.
It's not real.
Now.
It's a movie, Todd.
You know Miss Janice probably has a cat.
What? Dang.
I'm just saying.
It's not real. It's a movie. I wouldn't actually want that to happen.
I'm just saying. All right. Here is the trivia question. And we've got a Mannheim Steamroller CD. I didn't realize they still made those things. But they do.
Still exist. They're a relic.
It's a relic?
See, my favorite artist, I'll buy their CD. But, like, that's it. I have, like, two artists. I'll do that.
So, when I was growing up, my dad wanted a van, you know, one of those cool 70s vans. And so with the shag carpet, you know, all over. It's like on the roof, the ceiling, and the floor, the whole nine yards. Had an 8-track player. And my mom was a big Kenny Rogers fan. And the 8-track was the Gambler. And so, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. That 8-track got stuck in the machine, and my dad couldn't get it out. So every time we got in the car, that's all we heard was like over and over and over again.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I kind of didn't like Kenny Rogers after that.
Yeah, I can imagine why.
All right, here is the trivia question, and it involves A Christmas Story, one of my favorite Christmas movies, but not my favorite, which is Die Hard. We want to know what was the name of the book that the movie is based on. So A Christmas Story, it was based on a book. What was the name of that book? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com, by the way, is great for you to check out right now. We have a lot of stuff happening over there, including our newsletter and podcast available for you to download for free, and you can do that during the break.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Well, welcome back. I don't know. I kind of get into the mood here. I don't love that song. Grace, you're looking at me like I suffered a medical condition.
What sounded, I'm about to say, is that like you're about to have a stroke?
No, it's getting into the mood, the Christmas
spirit. What was that? Was that like an Elvis impression?
No, it was not really an Elvis.
What was it?
All right, well, let's move along.
Listen, y'all made fun of my singing voice earlier, and I'm making fun of your stuttering, if you want to call it, singing.
Okay, I was trying to do never mind. And it was sort of Elvis-esque.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, well, maybe not. All right, we've got a trip.
I was going to say, let's get someone a prize.
Let's move along. All right, here is the question of the hour. We want to know the Christmas movie, A Christmas Story, is based on what book? Let's go to Gail, North Carolina on the talk station. Gail, what's the answer?
Hi, I thought maybe Red Ryder BB Gun.
Oh, no. Close, but Gail, thanks for trying. Let's go to Lauren in Georgia. All right, Lauren, what's the answer?
It's In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash.
Yeah, you are correct. Yeah, congratulations.
I'm holding the book right here.
Is that so? You've got the book?
Oh, yes. We all went out and got it in high school. I'm showing my age.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The guy who wrote that, Gene Shepard, it's a collection of sort of vignettes, I guess, of his life. And they took the Christmas chunk out and they made a movie about it. And he actually made a cameo in the original movie.
Oh, I don't remember the cameo, but I do know it's his voice. I'm narrating the movie.
And he also, you're correct, Lauren, he also narrated the movie. But there's a scene where little Ralphie is standing in line to see Santa Claus. And there in the back is an adult, and that adult is Gene Shepherd.
Oh, I'll be. I have to watch that.
And by the way, my first Christmas when I had to work, I was stuck in New York City, had to work, saw that movie, and immediately went out and grabbed some Chinese food. So, and I will not try to sing fa-ra-ra-ra-ra, so that's very inappropriate. All right, Lauren, we're going to put you on hold. Congratulations, and we're going to send you a Mannheim Steamroller CD. And, Grace, I'm just feeling generous, and we're going to do one more and see if we can't squeeze one in before the end of the show. So here is the question. So we need to know what did Ralphie want for Christmas? There was something that Ralphie wanted for Christmas. What was that? If you know, give us a call, 844-747-8868. This is a Christmas story. Ralphie, he wanted something for Christmas. What was that? 844-747-8868. All right, we are waiting at this hour for the House of Representatives to vote on the contempt of Congress charge that's been levied against our good friend former Congressman Mark Meadows. We will let you know how that goes. Probably going to happen later this afternoon, and we'll keep you updated on that. In the meantime, Don Lemon from over at CNN had this to say about Fox News Channel. Cut number one, please. All right, Don Lemon, cut number one, please.
Why does Jen Psaki even continue to call on Fox in the briefing room? They've been very courteous and, I should say, you know, kind, because if your network is promoting BS and lies about what is actually happening in the country and helping to inspire and incite an insurrection, why should they even be able to take part in a legitimate press briefing, in legitimate journalism?
Yeah, it's so tough because there are reporters still at Fox. Very few, and very few getting airtime. And the last real good one just left the building.
Same question, Brian. Even though she makes a very good point, even though they have vaccine rules and mask rules and mandates at their own places of business. But why the question about why did they even allow Fox to pretend in the briefing room that they're a real news organization?
Well, I think we'd say historically, you got to keep as broad an opening of the press corps as possible, letting as many voices as possible, you know, even letting cranks. And there's been a lot of cranks in the briefing room in the past, not Fox, but just randos that are able to come to the briefing. I think historically that's been the approach. Let as many people in as you can possibly fit in the room. But today at the briefing, what did Fox ask about? The Christmas tree being set ablaze, which was awful last week, and I was really disturbed to see it. But no one thinks that's the top 10 story in America today, except at Fox News. So what we have to do, I think, is recognize it for what it is. And you've been documenting it, Don. We've been trying to document it. Fox has changed dramatically. And these text messages tonight are more evidence that this media ecosystem has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
And we can't view it the way we did 10 years ago, where, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of channels, and one leans left and one leans right. No,
yeah.
One now leans so far from reality that it's imperiled the country.
It's obvious they don't care about the truth. Anytime you see something on their air or you read something, you're like, oh, it's Fox. Well, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt.
All right, there you go. Don Lemon, who is currently facing a really ugly lawsuit over some allegations that he did something inappropriate to another man. In a bar. There you have Don Lemon, who is now calling for all these lawmakers up on Capitol Hill to turn off Fox News, to refuse to go on to Fox News. The reality is that, by and large, most people in America, even liberals, don't watch CNN anymore. They just don't. It's become unwatchable. And so for Lemon and the Dwarf King, Little Brian Stelter, to go out there and to attack Fox News is absolutely ludicrous. By the way, they also have clearly some sort of a pedophile ring operating in that building. And let's just hope it's only that one producer that got arrested. All right, let's go to the phones. We've got a lot of folks wanting to weigh in on this one. Let's go to Portland, Maine. Tim on the line, WLOB. All right, Tim, let's talk a little Ralphie here. What was he wanting for Christmas?
A Red Ryder BB gun.
Yes, to be exact, a Red Ryder carbon action 200-shot range model air rifle. So, but yeah, we will take the Red Ryder BB gun. That is correct, sir. And what was it? Do you know what his mom said when he said that's what he wanted?
You'll shoot your eye out.
You'll shoot your eye out. That's, I think Santa Claus said that too. So, yeah, Tim, congratulations. We're going to hook you up with a Mannheim Steamroller CD. You'll be able to enjoy that for the Christmas season. Wow, folks, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. Been a lot of fun today. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. Do not forget, podcast, toddstearns.com. Download that. Get out there and be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.